All right, all right, all right. It is Saturday set time, and the best horses in the world and Australia are converging on Randwick, and that means that here at the Den, we need to go up a level. So I've sought the best and the brightest from the Den and brought them all in to get you ready for the championships tomorrow. Kingzone, welcome. How are you, mate?
Thanks. Good. I'm in a punting war at the moment. This is grand final week. And what am I doing? I'm off to the pub.
That's very true.
Pub
very
on
true.
Saturday.
But
I can't
wait. We've had a great record at that in the past.
We have.
I
the
really
pressure comes off.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
relaxed atmosphere.
I really believe in you this week. Yeah, so looking forward to betting with you. Dan, thanks for coming in, mate.
How are you? Good?
Yeah, I'm great, mate. Yeah, looking forward to having you involved. We've got some fun things to do with you.
Yep.
Today, Dream Team.
G'day. Good to be back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And for those people who are worrying where the fizzer is, he is here. He's in his hostage chair, and we will wheel him out when we're ready, but don't worry, he will be here. Hey, boys, let's talk about the wet weather. Yeah, like in pre-production, Dano, you were saying there's a chance they might not even run.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance. We have, you know, I think there was one year that they postponed it till the Monday or something. I can't remember what year it was, but there's like 50 mils Thursday, 100 for, or up to 100 Friday, and then maybe up to 50 on Saturday. So if, especially Thursday, Friday are at the upper end of that range, it's going to be, yeah, some question
touch
about the meeting
go.
Going ahead, yeah.
Yeah, and I did ask for some questions and structure to the show and comments from you guys out there, and you guys gave us some really good stuff, and there was obviously a lot of talk about the effect of the rain. Dream Team, how much will the rain affect your approach on Saturday?
Yeah, quite a lot. Yep. Yep. You're looking for sort of smaller horses with like faster sort of legs. That's sort of the go. So I've changed some of my plays in the big races based on that.
Yep.
But completely different. You want, yeah, race fitness, free striding little horses. That's mm-hmm. my go.
And do we think there's going to be some lanes at Randwick on Saturday?
Very possibly, yeah. I mean, I had a look back at heavy tracks and my data was coming back that the inside was better, barriers 1 and 2, and on pace. Yours was a bit conflicting, Dan, when you looked at that?
Yeah, so I, as part of my prep for each meeting, I look at sort of similar meetings. So in this case, we're looking sort of heavy, rail, true. Normally, I expect they'll be sort of getting, you know, at least 3 horses off the fence around the turn and sort of well off the fence, like lanes 5+ in the straight, maybe wider. But it's definitely not a case of the wider the better. Like last year, this meeting was also heavy track, Doncaster. We saw Mr. Brightside, which was late in the day. He was sort of off the fence but closer to the inside of the sort of pack, and, yeah. and he sort of made his run through there to win. And I think it was My Oberon at Big Odds sort of came up his inside and sort of challenged. So, yeah, so it's not – I don't think it'll be an outside fence sort of day, but yeah, I do expect that after the first maybe 2 races they'll be getting off the fence. And hard day to lead, I think, but sort of that, you know, just off speed to sort of a little bit back in the field is probably a good zone.
Cool. All right. As I said, we're going to go through all the races at Randwick. There's a few races that just didn't come up with any betting propositions for us, so we will move through those when they come up. But let's start with Randwick Race 1, the Kindergarten Stakes Kings. 1,100-metre race.
At the start.
Espionage was unlucky not to get run in the slipper, but he is in and up for redemption on Saturday.
He is in his trial at Cincinnati. He won his trial as well, and I'm tipping him. I like him a lot. He's one of my best bets on the day. Just getting back to the bias, it's really important to – we can talk about it as much as we want, but it's really important to look at those first couple of races mm-hmm. and then make your mind up after that rather than thinking what's going to happen and sticking with that often. But back to race one, yeah, I'm all over Espionage. Just looks the class horse in the race to me. The other pick in the race, Rosalind Starr, won at the Kenzo in a very small field, led the whole way. I'm a bit sceptical over that sort of form. Mm-hmm. So Espionage, I think, has got a lot of talent. I said on this show before, I think that Espionage will win a Group 1.
Mm.
Let's start with a Group 3s at the Kindergarten.
Yeah.
Yep. Start
yep.
there. What do you think, cool. boys?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of interesting sort of rides from Nash, from Wide Barriers and all sorts of things. And Tommy goes on tomorrow, which is – interesting, yeah. I mean, I'm with it as well. It's been pretty unlucky. It's the horse that's dominated the Saturday sessions. We've mm-hmm. always been moaning and groaning about it. So no problems, Espionage for me. It is short at 225, but maybe you'll get better.
Dano?
Yeah, similar. I mean, I'll end up with it on top. I haven't gone right through the race yet, but, yeah, it does, on what we've seen so far, sort of have a talent edge and hasn't had every chance to sort of show its full potential yet. So hopefully it gets that on Saturday.
Very good. We're going to skip past race 2. Didn't really interest any of us. We're going to go to race 3, Kingzone, the Carbine Club Stakes, a 1600-meter race for the three-year-olds.
Yeah, I won't go into too much. I'll just tell you what I'm backing. So I'm going to definitely have something on Cafe Millennium, number one. Mm-hmm. Also, the six Kintyre, those were my two bigger bets. And then a smaller bet on number three, Ducasse.
Okay, anything to add, boys?
Not here.
No?
No, not here. I think Cafe Millennium would be a lot better suited at Randwick than he was at Rose Hill. So,
okay, yeah. Fair enough. We're going to roll through Randwick Race 4 and we're going to start getting into the pointy end of the day, the Country Championships final, a 1400-meter race at Randwick Race 5. Bandy's boy.
Yeah, Bandy's boy for me. Let's talk about what you told me, Matt, prior to coming in here.
This, yeah.
Take it away, something about a vet check?
Yeah, so basically they do some vetting on all the horses in the Country Championships and Bandy's boy didn't pass the first round of vet checks and they've got to go over him either today or tomorrow. There was some news coming from the stable. They were happy. It was just an abscess post its last run. It'll go through a vet check. It does have barrier one. By race five, it'll be we'll know a little bit more about the track.
Pretty short price favourite for a Country Championship final, isn't it, Dano?
Yeah, I mean, he's looked pretty good, especially what he did last start. I don't have a firm opinion on the race yet, so, yeah, I'll probably refer.
Yeah, I'm with him. Yeah. I thought 7 day backup, loves Randwick. Barrier one on the heavy tracks. Barriers one and two are profitable, so I'm not worried about that. Maybe they do get out to lane three, but still – I don't think you can circle, so I'm not worried about that. I'm with him, but what Matt is saying obviously is a concern.
Very good. Well, let's move to the first of the Group 1s, the Size Produce Stakes, 1,400 metres, Group 1, Race 6. And as you can see up on the screen here, we've got the AI as a bit of a foundation. And just quickly, you can see that we've got the win $10,000 cash on Saturday at our punt party. We're giving away $10,000 cash to a Wolf Den member. So if you want to be in the draw, you've got to become a Wolf Den member. Go do that. Getting back to the race, King Zone. It's a great race. What are you thinking?
Well, if he gave me $10,000, I'd put $5,000 on Stormboy and I'd put $5,000 on Manal. Ooh. Manal's run in the slipper was sensational, along with Traffic Warden, actually. They were the two best runs, I thought, out of the slipper. Mm-hmm. Stormboy, I think, will ease out in the market but gets all the on-pace favours. We know how good he is. But Manal is my play in the race. I think Lady of Camelot, I wasn't that keen. Bullet rating of 73 there. I just thought was a bit unders at $4 and Willies as well. What do you think, boys?
Yeah, I like Stormboy in the race. I mean, I thought, obviously went under in the Golden Slipper. I still thought it was a very, very good run. I mean, everyone saw he was a bit slowly away, but the key for me was that he was put under heavy pressure after that to chase. Mm-hmm. Once he found his position, he sort of stopped riding for about 100 metres and by then they're at the 800 and he had to go again. So the horse never, ever got a chance to relax into any sort of natural rhythm. For him to run as well as he did in that scenario, I think was the sign of a really good run. Still rated strongly. I think up to 1400, he's going to get a chance to find a spot. I think he just lobs outside the lead. Stablemate, probably a node, leads from the inside. And I think, you know, he's got a huge engine, this horse. So I think at 1400 in a race that might be a little bit grueling in the conditions, so I'm sort of pretty keen that he'll come out on top.
Do you think Coolmore are at all worried about their investment in him? They've obviously put a huge amount of money into him. What do you think they think after this?
I think they've got that much money that they don't worry about any individual horse, to be honest. But obviously not winning the slipper would have been a natural sort of downer. They were sort of banking on that. And so was everybody that was in line to get a kicker if he didn't
win the slipper.
Including
Gain Adrian, who won the
slipper. Including Gain Adrian. But, yeah, he's still got plenty of opportunities to win his Group 1. This race, the Champagne, and then also in the spring races like the Golden Rose and Caulfield Guineas and so on. Yeah.
I watched the replay of the slip. I've never seen a trainer look so downhearted after he won that Adrian Bott did. I watched it last night. Yeah. He was like, he didn't know what to do.
Reminded me of Weary. Remember some of those footage back in the
yes.
day?
Yes.
The wrong one. But for me, I mean, Stormboy, his strength, from what I've heard people say, he's the biggest and strongest in the yard. I actually think that's going to go against him on Saturday. So for me,
is it a wet track?
Yeah. For me, Manal, every run he's been with a bit of sting out, I don't think he's been as impressive, Stormboy. So I'll go with Kings Manal. Great run last start. Looks a smaller sort of horse. Collett went to the fence as he does. Barrier 10 probably is suitable. It actually jumped really well last start, Manal, if you watch the overhead. And got way back further than it should have. Smaller field, 750 Manal.
If you can make ground down the middle, I'm going to have a big, big crack at Manal.
Ooh.
Which you will be able to. That's actually a good tip, Matt, give about watching the starting horses that jump well. You often see horses that The form guide might say they settled back, but when you watch the start, they're actually jumping in the first five strides.
I love
they're
the overhead.
On terms with the other horses, and often you find those horses, they might draw better next start.
I think it literally jumped second or third if you open the barrier, once the barrier is open. So, I love that overhead footage. You only get it during carnival time.
I wish we had it all the time. It's a big positive angle to find horses that are going to settle closer, and that's one of the key ways to find them is looking for horses that jump well from outside gates but are then sort of snicked back.
Do you think PVL might get the helicopter out again on top of the track to try and dry it out?
Absolutely.
Probably going to need it.
Yeah. I think he might build a roof next time.
First indoor race course. It's time to bring the fizzer in.
Okay.
The fizzer.
Fizz.
Fizzer, anything to add to the Size Produce Stakes?
Size Produce. I'm a little bit like Matt. I thought Stormboy, bigger horse, going to struggle in the wet was my opinion a little bit. I found Lady of Camelot again, which I found in the slipper. I think it gets a perfect run behind the speed. The node might be off and gone. For those people on the quick backup. I mean, there's big runs out of the slipper, which a lot of people have talked about. Prost, Coleman and Manal, even Traffic Warden. But they all got to come from behind. And from what I remember of Randwick, when it's wet, I'm pretty sure you've still got to be on speed.
Mm.
So it'll be really interesting to see if they can run these good horses down, which sometimes is really hard to do.
Very good. That's all. We're going to move to the TJ Smith Stakes, 1200 metre race, Group 1. First question for you, Dano, is it the best race in the country? Someone on Twitter asked me to ask you that question.
Yeah, it is in a rating sense. I mean, it rates, if we look at the last 5 years' winners, it's sort of a length better than the next best race, which is the Everest, has been the Everest. And then we've got that champion sprint on the Flemington Carnival, which has dragged down a little bit. Rockin' Horse won 1 year in a sort of very low rating. But outside of that, it's had a lot of good winners as well. But yeah, TJ is definitely the best race, sprint race on the calendar every year. Yeah,
I want to stick with you. So when the Newmarket Handicap came around for a bit of fun, I said, let's put Black Caviar in the Newmarket. People really loved it. So we're going again, and I've asked you to put Black Caviar in the TJ Smith Stakes on Saturday.
Yeah.
What did you come up with? What price will you offer me?
Oh, will I offer you?
Would you offer the general public?
I'd say she'd start around $1.15. It's interesting that in her last 14 start, she SP'd between, I think, $1.04 and $1.14 or $1.15. She never started longer than that. In a couple of those races, especially the TJ Smith in 2011, where she was $1.15, she was chasing like a prime Haylist who, for a couple of strides there, we all thought might stretch her. She was just way too good in the end. There's no Haylist in this race. I mean, even for the quality of, we talk about Imperatrice and I Wish I Win and some of the others, like Haylist would have all of those covered. So on that basis, I find it hard to think she'd start longer than $1.15. Perhaps the sort of extra variable there is the wet track. She never actually raced on a slow or worse. She was always running on good and or dead four tracks, which we now call good four. That might have been sort of an extra factor. But, yeah, look, the sprinters running around in this race are no better than opposition she was beating up on consistently. And in the case of Haylist, they're probably a little bit off him, yeah.
Fizzer, before we get into the race, quick question for you from another viewer. I Wish I Win, the tactics with I Wish I Win from Moody. What do you make of them first up into a really hot sprint race, possibly a wet track? What do you think about that?
I don't know if they could have predicted the heavy track, which they do happen at this time of year. But for me, negative. It's going to get right back in the field and I can't see it being anywhere near the 440 that it is now. I think it'll drift heavily.
What did you make of the race? Anything else to add?
I just think, I found Imperatrice. I'm more than happy to be on her. She's shown versatility with being able to lead, being able to get back and sprint over the top. She likes the wet. She's beaten the horse you just talked about in the wet in New Zealand early on in their career.
Yeah.
For me, it sets up pretty perfectly for what Kings was saying the best sprinter in Australia not long ago. So I think that she can prove that she's up there. And I thought of that race other than that. I thought Espiona gets back, probably goes better in Melbourne. Sunshine in Paris, probably the other horse that I thought was – has a good upside, not a bad horse. And I just thought I Wish I Win was probably the one that's going to get right out in the market.
Very good. Kings, what did you make of it?
Just on I Wish I Win, there's obviously reasons why this year's first up sort of thing. And I don't know what they are, but you can't sort of – Moody knows what he's doing with these horses. So, yeah, we don't know the backstory really, so it's hard to sort of say what's going on. My girl Imperatriz, I'm not backing on Saturday. I don't dislike her, but she's just not going as good as she was in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
All her three figures have been worse than her worst figure in the spring. So she will need to improve. I don't know how much Randwick will suit her compared to a track like the Valley. Mm. So what does that leave me? It leaves me with a couple of roughies. Definitely Espiona,
mm-hmm.
third up and racing well. From a pure value perspective, Buenos Noches as well. They'll get back. They'll be running on. It's about $17 and about $34. So I'm with a couple of roughies for once.
Very good, Dano. Anything to add?
With I Wish I Win, I mean, we don't know, right? So in a scenario like this, it's hard to imagine how does the market underestimate him. Like, what's the angle you're taking to say that, oh, he's a much better chance than the price they're offering?
And he won the race last year, of course, at a good
price. Yeah, he won it last year. He was like fourth up or third up or something off a good platform. But... yeah, I would say to people, if they like Imperatriz, she has a heavy 10 win early in her career on New Zealand, which was like a six-length win in Group 2 weight for age company, was clearly the best rating earlier in her career. So, and that heavy 10 track on the day, the sort of variant in a speed sense, was heavier than most heavy tracks we get in Australia. So if you do like her, I think that you know, she can swim through the ground, or she has shown that before. I was sort of leaning, if you want to have a bet, sort of maybe each way, a couple of roughies. Bella Nipotina, who gets back to a heavy track. Last time we saw her on a heavy, she bolted in Group 1 there at Moonee Valley, ran by far her career best rating. And a real roughie, I think, is 20s or longer, Chain of Lightning, stablemate to I Wish I Win.
Mm-hmm.
She found form last start with a solid ratings, probably a length and a half or two lengths off this race, but I think she's a much better wet tracker if you look back in her form. And if she takes that rating and improves because she's getting back to the wet, she could run to a level that sort of at least puts her in the placing. So she might be one at massive odds. Yeah.
It's a great addition of the race, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a great race every year. We don't have highlight horses like Nature Strip or Eduardo. Certainly Imperatriz coming up sort of, yeah, adds a headline horse for the race. And, yeah, it'll be a great race as it is every year.
Yeah. Mate, I'm going to stay with you. So I'm going to move to the Doncaster Mile, 1,600 metres, obviously Group 1, a fantastic addition of the race. Seems a really, really deep field. What would happen if we threw Winx in the Doncaster this year?
Yeah, that's a great question because it's a handicap, right? So if we're talking weight for age, it'd be almost no betting, but under handicap conditions. She won in 2016 with 56.5. That was the autumn after her first Cox Plate win. So she was already a star, but she hadn't really sort of, you know, really gone to her absolute heights. She started at $1.80 that day, which is the equal shortest price winner in history of the Doncaster. The weight carrying record, I think, is 59 for a mare, which was back in the 30s. Sunline won with 58. So if we gave Winx 59, or let's say we gave her 60, and I looked at her sort of general level of good ratings, not her absolute career best, but just her, you know, sort of general level of good ratings, I think she'd sort of SP around 250, 270 in this Doncaster.
Wow. Yeah.
10,000.
Because, yeah, as I said, 60, you know, it's like 3 kilos above weight for age. She's giving away massive amount of weights to some, you know, decent horses, obviously not in her class, but that's the nature of races like the Doncaster and those big handicaps. So, as I said, 56.5, she won at $1.80, give her, you know, a little bit of extra weight. It's a decent Doncaster this year, so it's no gimme. And, yeah, in a rating sense, if you price her up, that's sort of where she'd land, I think, yeah.
I'm going to stay with you again.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Let's just go a bit when we get
That's
out.
That's okay, no problem.
Thank you, buddy.
It'll only be like a few
it'll
minutes.
It'll be right, mate.
Yeah. There was a question from a viewer about Militarize that he's probably copped a bit of a whack from the handicap as you're sort of in tight with the Militarize ownership group.
Yep.
What do you think?
I'd love him to have a couple of kilos less, of course. But look, when you look back in history, he's probably his weight 54. I think he has. He's relatively consistent with other 3-year-olds of his profile. We have seen some Group 1 winners get in with 49 or 50. But the important thing to note there is that the weights are released earlier. So horses like Lindemann last year or the Randwick Guineas winner that Michael Freeman had, they ended up with 49 or 50, but they won their Group 1s after the weights were already declared and they're not sort of re-handicapped. So Militarize won the size, he won the champagne, and then he came out in the spring and won the Golden Rose. So 54 is pretty fair there, I think. When you look back in history, there's been, I think, 5 3-year-olds carry 54 or more, and 3 of them have run places. Mentality had 55. I think he'd only won one Group 1. Piero had 57, which was amazing. He won the Triple Crown, obviously. And Hubert Gotchu had really only won the Caulfield Guineas and a couple of Group 2s. And I think he had 54.5 and ran second. So it's not an unrealistic weight given the horse's profile. But, yeah, he probably still needs to find a little bit to win on those, with that weight.
Do you have a tip in the race?
Doncaster, I mean, there's plenty of potential winners. Another Will can obviously win. Celestial Legend can obviously win. I don't think either of those horses are value at the moment. Probably the value in terms of that odds, I'd say, is Detonator Jack. I think he's a great value long shot. And also throwing Democracy Manifest there. I think he's some sort of chance at massive odds to run a good race, even though he'll get a long way back in the field. So they'd probably be my two long shot picks. Both like the wet and both sort of got ratings that can figure.
Very good. Kingzone, there was a question about another Will. Will they go handlebars down from the white barrier and just try to get well out in front with another Will?
Nah, they'll kill him if they do that.
Okay.
There's a bit of pace in this race. Attractable. There's about four horses that go forward.
Are you happy with the quality of the field? You're a bit of a Doncaster aficionado. I think the field's coming magnificent.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. No, it's a great field. It's a great field. I like another Will, but I'm really worried about barrier 21. I've got to be honest with you. When I looked at those wide barriers, there's going to be a lot more pressure that he's ever experienced as well. So I don't really like the race. Mm-hmm. I love the race, but I don't really, from a betting perspective, I don't really like it. I'm definitely going to be on one of Dan's tips, Democracy Manifest. Loved his last start win. I want to see how the only two horses I could back are it and definitely backing it and another Will, but I just want to see how the track's playing with another Will. So great race, but not getting too heavily involved.
Fizzer, before we let you go, mate, what did you make of the race?
Yeah, great addition of the race. Looks really, really tough, like the boys have said. I've got Lindemann on top. So Waller horse, 2,000 back to 1,600. Dan tipped at his best bet a few weeks ago. Only concern is a heavy track, and if it's bottomless, I'm not sure whether or not it'll get through it well enough. Lady Laguna keeps producing, great horse, gets the right run. And I don't know how good Southport Tycoon is, but there's another little roughy to throw in your numbers as well. Just tough. I just think, like King said, the favourite, probably a bit short, being out of the Doncaster Prelude and drawn barrier 21. I don't know where it's going to get to. So it could be a good roughies race.
Yeah. Bird tipped me Southport Tycoon this morning.
Good chance.
The bird.
Bit of mail for you.
Very good.
Good chance. I was initially looking to find it when it won the Australian Guineas. That race rated really well for me, and knowing he had 49, I knew in a rating sense he comes up really well in the race. It's just a question of that sort of barrier. He doesn't have huge amount of early speed, so he's going to be sort of back and probably really wide, whether that's the right type of run to sort of win.
But I think they're going to go 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, on talent, he's definitely there. Wouldn't talk anyone out of backing him, that's for sure.
Mm. Fizzer, can you give us your A set, please?
Yeah, no worries. Just I got beaten on all the faves last week. So there's no faves in the Saturday set this week for me.
Just winners.
Just winners, hopefully, and all $6-ish, I think. Ascot race 6, number 6, a horse called Golden Kathleen's had one start. Super impressive. Think it can continue on with it and win this time in. I'm going to Eagle Farm, which could be heavy as well, but I've picked a few horses I think will go in the wet. Race 9, number 14, Ella to Armour. Won really well at Ipswich last start, comes back a little bit in distance, which won't be a concern. Inside barrier, a little concern. They seem to be drifting to the centre of the track at Eagle Farm anyway, and it goes really good in the heavy. And then I'm going to race 10, number 15, Tajaki. Great first up, run over 1,200, sticks to the 1,200. Looks like it'll be fitter. Had no luck in the straight. I think it's a good chance around the $6.
On you, mate. You're free for another week. You can go and bet.
Yes, no more imprisonment.
In you come, Dream Team.
Baton change.
All right, it's time to move to the Derby. And as you can see up on the screen, we've got AI to put a bit of structure to it. I can see the words Golden Bullet, so that's exciting. You can also see there that AI is free this Saturday for all members. So every single meeting will be free this Saturday at our punt party and also members anywhere around Australia or the world. So, great weekend to become a member of AI. Back to the race, King Zone.
The Riff. It's my favourite horse at the moment, the Riff. Uh-huh. 48 points clear on the bullet ratings. A Golden Bullet. Won the Victorian Derby. Sat wide last start. Consistently the best ratings. I saw $3.60 earlier yesterday, but I didn't take it. I wish I could have. But I think it's around the $3.20 mark at the moment, $3. Seems like a good price to me. I'm all over the Riff. Dan, what do you say?
Yeah, I like Riff Rocket in the race. I thought the win at Rose Hill was excellent, like back wide. They went slow. He was the one least suited by the speed. Nash kind of intimated after in his interview that the horse won sort of despite the trip and maybe his efforts type of thing. Mm-hmm. Thought it was a very, very good win. People raised a lot of questions about his ability to stay and all that sort of stuff until they, you know, I don't think the fact that he only won the Victoria Derby narrowly means that he's not a real stayer. They were still finishing fast in that race. The race rated well. And, you know, some people are, you know, big believers in stride lengths and things like that for stayers. Like he ran his last 200 fastest in the Rose Hill Guineas and actually won one stride less than the other horses. So mm-hmm. he does sort of seem like he has that, you know, sort of action and profile of a stayer. So, yeah, I'm happy to gamble just on his quality and perhaps a general perception that he's not a stayer might sort of see a couple of roles more than maybe what we should get.
Dream team.
Yeah, I'm with the girls, the orchestral form.
Ooh.
So Zardozi, just a seven-day backup, wet track, rock-hard fit, super impressive in the Oaks, I think it was last year. And then you've also got, I think, Riff Rocket looks a big sort of gawky thing. And if it's a heavy 10, at around, I mean, I think they might level up. If a track's super wet, I think Zardozi could even challenge Riff Rocket for favouritism from what I'm gathering the whispers around the people saying. So, yeah, I'm Zardozi. I know it's a stay out for Kings, but, yep, I'll be backing her.
Sweet. We're going to move to a Randwick Race 10, which is the PJ Bell Stakes 1,200-metre race for three-year-olds, and the A-set is alive in this. Chris Camilleri is tipping Learning to Fly, and I will read out why he is tipping it. Annabelle Neesham trained filly that is set to peak now, third up this preparation after two strong performances, suited back to 1,200 metres, and from the good draw will enjoy the run of the race, stalking the leading pair. Can you argue with Chris Camilleri there?
I don't want to argue with Chris Camilleri at all because he's been on fire. Mm. I'll be winning that much by race 10. I'm just going to be working the room at the pump party and I'm going to box the trifecta in the last because I think it's a real hard race.
Great. Dano?
Yeah, look, no opinion. Very hard race. Haven't gone right through it in detail yet, but on face value, it doesn't look the sort of race I normally bet in.
And you'd be the last person to want to argue with Chris Camilleri as well, would you?
Of course, he's going well.
He's our teammate in the A team.
That's right.
We would not argue with Chris, absolutely. Yeah,
100%.
Dream team, anything to add there?
No. I mean, I think it's a good chance. I thought the 12 commemorative is racing well as well, but I'll have to have another look at that now. The track's going to be wet. So
it's a huge horse commemorative, isn't it?
From memory, it may not be suited, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Can we get that added to the form guide, like the size of the horses?
We do. They weigh them in Hong Kong.
They weigh them, don't they?
You should have the weight.
You've got the stride length data. You keeping that to yourself? Release that.
This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Ladbrokes. Join Ladbrokes today and support the show by using the code GALLOP. Take on the fun during the championships with the Ladbrokes app. Load with the best racing features, including bet ticker so you can see where the big bets land, yard comments to give you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring, and black book so you can add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. So take on the fun and Ladbroke it during the championships. You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. Very good. Our good friends at Ladbrokes have asked us to put together a quaddie for day one and day two of the championships and also All Age Stakes Day. So that's for the next three weekends. And you can see up on the screen now, this is our quaddie play for this Saturday. We put a lot of work into it before the Saturday set started. We all sat on the couch out there and workshopped it.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzy was the leader and Fitzy's very good at jagging a quaddie. I believe you're also going to be able to copy it straight from the Ladbrokes app. They'll put some sort of a promotion up in the app maybe tomorrow or Saturday. So hopefully that gets done in time. If not, you just have to load the numbers in yourself.
Yeah.
About
240 combinations. 100 bucks gets you 42%.
Fantastic.
Sounds good.
You sit back and watch it.
Sit back and count your money.
Our good friends at racing.com have asked us to continue to publish the Saturday set on the website and app, and we really appreciate that. Let's have a bit of a talk about the Caulfield meeting. It's actually come up as a really nice meeting. Just before we do that, I want to have a talk with you in particular, Dano. So The All-Star Mile, everyone knows that it needs a bit of reworking, including Racing Victoria. They're happily sort of out in the press saying that, you know, nothing's off the table. They're going to look at what they can do to try and reinvigorate it. The, you know, what they brought in sort of 5 or 6 years ago hasn't really worked. So I've got an idea, reasonably controversial. I want to talk it through. So a $20 million slot race, you can see it up on the screen there. So as soon as you start talking $20 million slot races, a lot of people who are a bit upset with how prize money is working at the moment go, well, you know, that's crazy. Where's all that prize money come from? Why should punters have to pay for it? Well, in my structure there, punters aren't actually paying for it. It's the same structure as we have at the moment. So Racing Victoria put in the $4 million that they've put in. Then we sell 12 $1 million slots, which I think you would be able to do. We've just had the slot race in New Zealand. The Kiwi get sold, sold pretty easily for around the $700,000 mark. Then we try and get $4 million from a major sponsor, ambiguous as whether that's feasible or not, but I think it would be. And then it's a $10 million first prize, perpetually at Flemington, 1,600 metres, wait for age. The big thing here, which probably a lot of people would scratch their head about, move the Australian Cup to Moonee Valley. The idea behind that is I think that Racing Victoria need to put some real structure to their autumn carnival and really try and pump it up. And if you gave the All-Star Mile permanently to the VRC, Moonee Valley Race Club might be like, well, how do we come out of this? I think that the Melbourne Racing Club have got things pretty perfect with their Blue Diamond Carnival. And I think if you threw Moonee Valley Racing Club a bone with the Australian Cup, I think it's also a bit of a prelude to the Wait for Age Championship of Australia in the spring with the Cox Plate. So it'd be over there. You know, obviously you can run it over 2,040 metres. I think you'd also shorten the carnival by a week. I think that it's a bit long at the moment. I think it goes for 8 weeks, the Festival of Racing. I think you could pull it back to 7 weeks. And then the last thing is we're going to get the next generation of participants down in Victoria to drive this. For example, I was at Lindsay Park. I spoke to JD Hayes about it. And he was like, sounds like a great concept. I'd love to get involved in pushing it. And that would be, you know, you get all these young stars coming through. You've got the Hayes boys, you've got the Freedmans, you've got so many young people who are going to take this game forward. Try and get them on board to promote it to their generation. I do understand that AFL completely dominates down there, and the All-Star Mile this year was around the time of the start of the season, so I understand that you've got to factor that in. But I don't see any reason why you can't get massive crowds to Flemington in time if it's promoted correctly like we get for the Everest in Sydney.
Yeah. And they obviously have to do something. The other thing is about the talent. I mean, this year we missed Fangirl, didn't go to the race. Alligator Blood, who was out injured, which was a big blow. A Tissue was probably the other one who decided to go to the Australian Cup. Look, outside of those three, there wasn't a lot of other horses that would have ended up there, you know, and you start talking about $20 million races and so on. I think they need to decide, first of all, whether they want to stick with the all-star concept, whether it stays a wait for age race. At the moment, there's no depth in it. There's a couple of chances and the rest are virtually no chance because it is under wait for age conditions.
I think if you own Mr. Brightside, you wanted to keep it wait for age.
100%. But if you go to handicap, you get a much more interesting race. You could effectively have like a Doncaster type scenario, which creates massive interest and talking among participants and players, but then you may not get the all-stars that you're looking for. For Mr. Brightside has 59 or other horses highly weighted might go somewhere else. So I think they need to look at that concept, you know, exactly where they want to pitch the race and what the brand of the race wants to be. Moving the Australian Cup, probably a lot of politics at play there, but it'd be great. Cox Plate of the autumn. I mean, why not? Moonee Valley 2040.
I just think we've got to do something. You've got to have a crack. Another thing, Gil McLaughlin, like if he came in, he'd be looking for a challenge. He's been obviously very successful as an administrator.
Yep.
Drop this on Gil McLaughlin. Go, mate, make this work. Yep. It's a big challenge for him. If he was into it, he might be able to make it work.
Yeah. Isn't Moonee Valley closing down for a period of time soon or something?
Yeah, that's right. So you'd have to factor that in as well.
Where would it go there? But yeah, I do believe the race needs to end up at one track. I think that's important for the brand instead of having – that's what we associate the great races with, all the great Flemington races, Randwick races, the Caulfield features, things like that. So having it move is sort of a problem. And, yeah, I just think there's a lot of good ideas out there. Probably none of them are absolutely perfect, but it comes back to what do they want the brand of the race to be? Do they want it to be an all-star concept and go all out for the best weight for age horses we can get? Or do they want to make a more open and intriguing and interesting race that has many more chances, creates a lot more betting interest and a lot more sort of chat across the industry about the potential winners and put massive prize money up for some handicappers and you know, make some dreams come true that way?
Yeah. Anything to add, boys?
Nope. Oh, I just want to bet. I just want to bet. I'm just not interested in these. I just want to bet. But I want market stimulator as well. My turnover is going down. I want it to be going up. So prize money isn't going to do that for me. I want the markets to be stimulated and more money going in.
That's right. So what you've got to do is you've got to get this next generation. We want everyone to become a punter in a responsible way. And I think this kind of thing is the way to do that. Anyway, it's a good discussion point and we will move on. And you just want to bet.
I do.
If you just want to bet and you want to do it on course, you can go to Caulfield for free because our good friends at the Melbourne Racing Club, as usual, have got free tickets to Caulfield on Saturday. You can go into the description of this video, hit the link, get some tickets, head out there as usual. We appreciate the support from the Melbourne Racing Club. Let's talk about this card at
Well, you Caulfield. Know how much I love Caulfield.
You do. And the races we're going to look at are races 7 and 8. The first race is the Galilee Series Final, 2,400-metre race for three-year-olds. It's a bit of a the horses who weren't quite up to the ATC Derby level get to go around here. And so it's actually a nice little race.
It is. I'm with Apulia and Sunsets. Both, I think, will be a lot fitter for the last run to turn the tables on the favourite, which came over from New Zealand last time.
Orchestral form.
Yes. So I just think, this is a different race at Caulfield and they can swing. The value at the moment, there isn't any there, but I think they will drift in the market and I'll be getting on late.
Very good. Boys, anything to add?
No, it's a tricky race. Like, it was about 12 horses spread across the Moonee Valley track last start in the Antrim Coast race. Very even field. I thought a roughy. Pat Carey, he always trains a good stayer. There's one at 30s, maybe 40s or 50s on Saturday. It's number 10, Maputo. I'll have something on it.
Okay, very good. Dano?
Yeah, really tough race. I think the top three, the two kings mentioned, Antrim Coast, are like a class above the others on their ratings. Apulia and Sunsets have the better ratings from last spring over Antrim Coast. It's an interesting one. Ran well behind Orchestra in a really fast run derby over 2,400. Was a little bit flattered in the 2,000 last start because they went really fast in front and it was that sort of grinding finish. I don't think there's a huge amount of speed in that race on Saturday, so it's probably going to be back and the race may require a little bit more of a sprint home. So that's my little query about it. Can definitely still win, but can't see any value. Apulia, similar thing, going to get back, long way back in the field. Sunsets is the interesting one because it's the one that could press forward. We saw it do that in the spring race up on speed and give a horse like Riff Rocket sort of a big run. So if I was leaning to one horse, it'd probably be Sunsets because I can't imagine the other two are going to go forward. Mm-hmm. And if they do go moderately in the middle stages, then Sunsets is going to be somewhere up near the lead, surrounded by a bunch of horses that are 20s, 30s, 50 to 1, with the two main dangers sort of many lengths behind it. But it's a really tough race because I think there's a query over sort of all of those top three. Sunset's still yet to prove that it's going as well as it was last prep.
Sweet. Let's move to a race 8, the Victoria Handicap, 1,400-metre Group 3 Handicap. Another great race. Some good horses in this race.
It is. Good horses. With Here to Shock and C&E.
Yep.
I think they will both be very much better suited second up, fitter and ready to peak. Both great value, especially C&E, I think. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, tough race. You got Globe, the sort of boom horse from Price and Kent stable who went really well and then sort of had it ran poorly and had a setbacks, come back, had 2,000 metre jumped out. Looks like it's gone enormous. But, you know, this is 1,400. He finds Buffalo River drawn inside there. So I just wonder, his best was at 1,800. This is going to be a solid 14, just whether that speed is going to be in his sort of right rhythm. You know, can definitely sort of win. He doesn't have much room to move off his best ratings and there's plenty of others that can beat him, like, Here to Shock, even C&E on a form last prep. Buffalo River's probably the safest one in terms of running well. He's been so consistent of late. He's going to be up on the lead. He loves Caulfield.
No Pride of Jenny to contend with.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look at his last three runs, anywhere in the range of those last three from a rating sense sort of puts him in the finish or sort of winning. So he's probably your more reliable horse, but he's also $4, right, whereas some of those other horses are sort of double the price or longer. I think Here to Shock has sort of challenges on the map unless they go really hard and sort of string out. C&E definitely. I think she's unbeaten at 1,400, 5 from 5. And her last couple of ratings at 1400 sort of put her right in the mix. I think she's like $8 or something.
And second up very good. I can't remember the stats, but it was like 4 from 5 or 3 from 4.
Four from three.
So, yeah, she profiles really well. And I think if I remember my map, she just looks like she works across and just lobs in a perfect spot, just sort of tracking the speed. So, yeah, if I was to sort of pick two, I'd say Buffalo River is the safest bet to sort of run well. But at a longer price, probably Sione. Albeit she does need to improve off first up, but does have the profile to do it. Yeah.
Sione Falmuina for me. I just think you got to bet against Globe. The barrier trials is what's keeping it so short. I think its ratings don't even match up to the other horses yet. So obviously plenty of respect for it, but of course it's trialed so well. I think that's why it's so short or jumped out in Victoria. So yeah, I'm Sione. And maybe Buffalo River, but it's got to be tired. Been chasing Jenny that's last two starts or three starts.
Short enough as well, $4 or whatever it is.
Yeah, Sione's the value for me.
Kingzone, your Saturday set, please.
My official Saturday set is we're starting off early. We're going Espionage in Randwick Race 1, and I'm going to wait on the price. Don't dive in early because of this wet track, a lot of rain around. So I'm going to wait and bet on the day. The same with Riff Rocket. I'm going to wait. Not to charge into the 310 or 320. Mm-hmm. So those are my two official Saturday set tips at Randwick. And then I've got one more at Caulfield, race 4, number 6, Peace Treaty, which I would back early. I think 550 at the moment, which I think is a great price. Over race last start at Caulfield as well. Cost at the race, in my opinion, or any chance of winning the race. Maps really well here, crosses from the wide barrier, and he's going to be really hard to run down. So those are my three. I showed a small profit last week, but this week I need to show a big profit.
You're just hanging in there. Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
Let's get the A-set tips. And it's great to get in person. We've already got Chris Camilleri's tip earlier. It was learning to fly around race 10. Boys, what did you come up with?
I'll go Storm Boy in the size, one for the big boys getting through the heavy, hopefully.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But, I've been a huge fan of the horse, so I'll sort of die on my sword there one last time, give him a chance. I think that... always believed he's the sort of best two-year-old in the country, so we'll have one more crack to see if he can prove it.
Very good. Dream team.
Yeah, I'll stick with Dozy in the Derby.
Okay, very good.
Head-to-head, Riff versus Zardozy.
That's right. If the bookies get a split, well, we should give up.
May the best man win.
Absolutely.
Up on the screen now is RI's staking plan. And now we're going to move to our return on investment graphic. We're always accountable. Here it is. How's it looking, Kingzone? You're making progress.
Well, I'm only two winners away.
The A-team, the pride of the joint, up $500, and RI is really lagging behind, but I'm very confident this weekend I'm going to do some pretty aggressive staking and really blast my way out.
What do you mean you're doing aggressive staking?
Gamble responsibly.
Gamble responsibly. I'm just going to, like, for example, Stormboy, that might be a three-unit play.
Wow.
Don't forget Manal down the bottom.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'll work it out. I'll work it out. You just worry about your stuff, mate. Mm. So,
It's been
a marathon, but we're getting there. Dogs in the Den. We're getting close to Golden Easter Egg time. Jason Campbell does a fantastic job. It's a really, really good show. Go and watch it. He's been tipping a lot of winners. I think he's tipping at 12% SP on
fantastic.
Dogs.
He's been tipping more than we have, that's for sure. Yeah. Or I have, I should say. I can't speak for anyone else.
We were at the yearling sales yesterday. We're doing some content with the Ladbrokes Racing Club. We're going to take you inside the yearling sales on day one and day two, which is next Sunday and Monday. It's going to be really good content if that's what you like. I'm putting a lot of effort into it. That'll drop next week. It's a bit like our Saturday sessions on the racing. We're kind of doing that about the sales session. I really like doing it, as do the boys who are out there with me. Got great access, which we've been really lucky with lately. Quick question, the Winx filly. The most ever paid for a horse was the full brother or half brother to Black Caviar. I can't remember exactly. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't. I think it was half brother. I think it was Redoute's Choice out of... something, Helsinge. What do you think of Winx Billy? It's Piero out
What's the record so far? Piero out of Winx.
5 million,
wasn't it? Oh, really?
Yeah, five million. That was for Redoute's Choice, half brother to Black Caviar. That was 5 million. Never made the race.
That was the spider bite horse,
that's right,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bill Vlahos.
Well, the rich get richer at the moment, so I'm going to say 7.5 million.
Whoa!
Is it a colt or a filly?
It's a filly.
Oh, it's a filly. 2.5.
Boo. Dream team.
2.6, yeah.
It's going 5 million for sure.
Okay.
7.5.
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. You've had the...
What's it like on type?
You've seen the type. We
got a fantastic tour of the Coolmore stable at the sales yesterday. I had a great chat with a bloke called John Kennedy. spent probably 5 minutes with us showing us the Winx filly, and that's the kind of insight you're going to get.
How'd she look?
Oh, she's beautiful, but how would I know? They all look the same to me. So
undefeated so far.
Yeah, that's right. You can see these hats we're wearing. If you like them, they're going to be in our merch store very, very soon.
They are good hats. They're good. Some awesome. Of our best stuff, I reckon. Mm-hmm.
But even better than that, if you come to our punt party, you get one for free. If you go on the Oprah show, you get a car.
2, 3.
But with us, you get a free hat. It looks good on the king. Looks good on me. Go support our merch store, wolfdenstore.win. I think we're there. I think we've done it. It's been a marathon, but I've loved it.
Yep. Won't be half an hour. I'll be way bigger than half an hour.
Yeah. Yes. What are we at, Troy Mitt? 47 minutes. Yeah. Outstanding. RI's done it
good
again.
Good work.
Huge day. Looking forward to meeting a lot of people from the den at the punt party on Saturday. I think there's a tiny bit of room to squeeze in if you still want to come. The rain's not looking good, so come and join us at the Hudson Hotel in Seven Hills in Sydney. It's going to be one of the best punt parties ever. One of the best days on the punt.
Yep. I love it.
It's going to happen.
Even if Randwick's wet, there'll be 10 other meetings ready to go. Anyway.
Yes. Have you Eastern Suburbs boys ever been out as far west as Seven Hills? Or?
We have. I love it out there. There's a bit of whinging from the young blokes over there that they've got to go that
we
far.
We have to meet at Sydney Airport at 6 a.m. or something. Like.
It's where the real people in Sydney live out there. So I can't wait to hang out with you all. Up the den, bring on Saturday. Let's go!